Congregation is invited to stand for the order of confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
God is our refuge and strength,
a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way,
though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea,
though its waters roar and foam,
though the mountains tremble at its swelling.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God,
the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved.
God will help her when morning dawns.
The nations rage. The kingdoms totter.
He utters his voice. The earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord.
How he has brought desolations on the earth.
He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth.
He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire.
Be still and know that I am God.
I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The first scripture reading is from Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel, to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of the water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation, if you want to, you can look at the backside of that insert about the Reformation, some thoughts about the Reformation. And there's the little sermon notes. Again, we have two little mini sermons or two mini messages with the children's message in the middle too. Good news for all. The readings that we have in church this morning are the assigned readings for Reformation Sunday. And this is just the short little reading that's given for the first scripture reading. Two verses from Revelation chapter 14. Two verses, but full of action and promise and power of God. Did you catch that? When John says in verse 6 there, I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel. With an eternal gospel. That's very important for us. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is not only for those first people at the first Pentecost on Acts. It's not only during later Paul's teaching in his epistles to the Philippians, to the Christians in Philippi, the Christians in Rome. The gospel isn't just for the Christians who confess the Nicene Creed, the bishops in Nicaea, when they confess the true teachings about Jesus, true man and true God, equal with the Father in Nicaea in 325 AD. The gospel is not just for Martin Luther and the other reformers. The gospel is not just for our forefathers who came to this land at various times and in various ways, started homes and businesses and farms. The gospel is not just for us. The gospel is also for our children and our children's children and so forth until Jesus comes again. It is an eternal gospel, an eternal good news. An eternal in our own lives, it means for every single day the promise that we are forgiven and that we have the promise of heaven and that we can love one another with the power of the Holy Spirit. That good news is for us every day, for generation to generation to generation. It's an eternal gospel. And this gospel is for all people. All, as John described there, to every nation and tribe and language and people. This stole that I'm wearing today is a Reformation stole. I got in Ghana, West Africa. I was there for Reformation 3 years ago. And so the Ghanaians, the African Lutherans, have a head of Luther and different symbols and crosses and Reformation. Salvation is not for sale, but a free gift from God, a little phrase like that. Africans, Christians who appreciate the clearness of the gospel that came clear in the Reformation, had all this cloth. In fact, the service where I was at, all the pastors had these, but people had dresses and suits made of this cloth. We all looked the same. For all tribes and nations, expressed in different ways, but the same Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is for all people. Part of that message there, fear God and give him glory. The gospel is about what God has done. It does not measure what people do. Fear God and give him glory. That's the foundations of Christianity. That God sent his Son to be a Savior, what he has done. So the Christian faith is founded on God's work, what he has done in Jesus, not human efforts. And we can forget about that. We can get tense in our lives, and we can say, oh, I forgot to do this, or I wish I could have got this done. I think like that a lot sometimes. Oh, I didn't get that done, or I didn't get this done. The joy in our life, the power of our life, is what God has done and does for us in Jesus Christ. Not the measurements of what we do, but what he has done for us in Christ And then thank God we can live Christian lives. But the power of our joy, the power of our peace with God, is on what he has done in Christ. It is good news for all. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, bless us with your grace. Fill us with your good news. In your name we pray, amen. We continue with the hymn, Dear Christian, One and All, Rejoice. Second reading from the New Testament is from Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human will be justified in his sight. Since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because In his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then, what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Standing for the reading of the Holy Gospel from John chapter 8, starting at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen from heard from your father." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Free to be God's people. Jesus, we aren't slaves. What are you talking about? We're a free people. How can you say we're in slavery? These fellows were highly educated. They knew their Old Testament. They knew, in fact, their ancestors had been slaves in Egypt, as recorded in the Old Testament. So it's sort of funny what they're saying here. No, their forefathers had been slaves. But even that, Jesus is speaking about something much deeper than that. He's speaking of something deeper than our physical situation, whether in jail or not, whether in forced labor or not. He's speaking differently than our place in society. Slavery was well known in Roman society, in Jewish society beforehand, in so many different societies, up to till today in human trafficking. There's slavery. But Jesus is talking about something else. Jesus is talking about a slavery to sin, which is something different than any kind of other human condition we might say and think about. And freedom from sin is freedom from death and freedom from the power of the devil. Do you remember what God told Adam and Eve? "The day you eat of that tree, that day you will die." Sin leads to death. That sin, that first sin, was from a temptation of the devil. "Oh, you will not die. No, God knows if you eat of it, you will live, and you will be wise like God, knowing good and evil." To take and trust that temptation of the devil is to follow the devil, is to put oneself under the power of the devil. So sin, and then death comes to turn away from God, the author of life, to turn to death, and to turn to the path of the devil. Jesus is concerned about setting people free from that. Free from sin, free from death, free from the power of the devil. I've said it in many sermons written about it. You yourselves bear testimony about it. We say, even during pandemic, God is in control. God is in control. Pandemic, death, illness, poor human judgment, all these things of earth that are not good are because of sin and because of the power of the devil. But Jesus says, "I want to free you from that. You don't have to be afraid of that. There are things we go through in life, but you do not have to think you're under that power. No, we're under the power of Jesus, who has given us freedom to be his people. Christianity is not about worldly power or wealth, and that's measured so easily in this world. The governor can tell the state troopers to do this. The office of the governor, the health department, makes these recommendations, makes these orders. The president makes these orders. Does different president make different orders? It's all measured. Do this, 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 not this. That's how we live in this world and with those powers. But Jesus is above that. But he's concerned of us inside of that, that you know that your sins are forgiven and that God is with you and that you don't have to be afraid of God or be afraid of anything because I have defeated sin and death and the devil. What it must have been for those first disciples to see Jesus risen from the dead. See, touch me, I have flesh. Here, give me something to eat. It's not just a ghost, it's just not a spirit. Jesus has really risen from the dead. And that message, that he's risen from the dead, that reality, that fact, that view of life and eternity, says, okay, I face the operation, I face the illness, I face this pandemic, I face my loss of job, whatever it might be, but Christ is my master, and he is over all this. He's going to get me through, and in the meantime, while I'm going through it, I can love other people and take care of other people. We don't fear anything in this life, but the Holy Spirit leads us to follow Jesus, to learn his teachings, to remember them, that they're deep in us, and then to love each other and to take care of each other. As best as we can tell, this is to take care of each other, to keep those particles as much as possible from going too far out. This is to take care of each other. This is for a time. We pray God, the Master, only for a time. But in our daily lives, whatever else we're doing, we're taking care of other people. Jesus takes care of us, and he says, take care of others. That's the Reformation. We don't have to be afraid of sin and death and the devil. Jesus has power over them. But in fact, we can love and praise God and love other people and bear witness that Jesus, the crucified one, has risen again. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have freed us through Jesus' death and resurrection. You have freed us. We are free people. All people can be free from sin and death and the power of the devil. And yet, sometimes we look at the world or our situation and we think those are stronger, or powers of this world are stronger. Help us to truly believe and be comforted that no, you are in control, Jesus is victor. And though we may have to live through hardships now and again in this life, yet we are free people in Jesus, and our freedom is not to boast or lift up ourselves, but our freedom is to love others. Help us to do this. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The congregation is invited to stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, and we offer our prayers. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Having confidence in our justification by grace through faith, and having access to the Father in Jesus' name, let us turn our hearts in prayer on behalf of ourselves, the church, and all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you have shown your faithfulness by raising up those in every generation who call your church to repentance and renewal. Continue to raise up voices in our own day who herald the truth of your word and proclaim the faith in purity and truth against all enemies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, your word has been the light and salvation throughout the ages. Help us to bring your grace to those in darkness and grant them freedom through the forgiveness of their sins. Bless the missionaries serving far and near and the new congregations they establish in your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of power and might, you have established governments and the order of law for the protection of all people and to preserve the freedom of worship, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Grant to our President, our Governor, the Congress of these United States, and the legislature of our state, wisdom, humility, and integrity, that all may enjoy true justice and the protection of life from its conception to its natural end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, thank you for those who watch over and help us. Bless them and guide them every day. We remember firefighters, law enforcement, military, medical, and emergency personnel, educators, counselors, utility workers, and food producers. Bless our harvesting work with safety and success. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy and gracious God, your power is revealed chiefly in showing mercy to those in need. Give to the sick healing, to the troubled peace, to the grieving comfort, and to the dying peace. Hear us first on behalf of Margaret, Bernita, Carolyn, Charlotte, Isaac, Julie, Loretta, Kathy, Carlin, Shirley, Bryston, Bill, Jason, Lori, Sue, Deborah, Becky, David, Brian, Pastor Shivey, and Pastor Berlin, and be with all military chaplains and all whom they serve. And those we name in our hearts before you. According to your gracious promise, grant patience to those in tribulation and trial. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have given great gifts to your people and provided resources to provide for their own needs and for the poor. Bless the agencies and programs of your church by which your people give aid and support to those in need. Hear the under and unemployed to get jobs that they may enjoy the fruits of their labors and honor you with the works of their hands. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O faithful Lord, throughout the ages you spoke hope through the prophets, until that day when you delivered up your own Son to be our Savior and Redeemer. Bless those who are just learning the gospel, and bless us with a desire to know and keep your word. Encourage your people to avail themselves of the grace of confession and absolution, so that they may forgive one another and live in the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God and Father, we pray you to grant all good things that will benefit us in body and soul, and to prevent anything harmful to us or to our salvation. Teach us to live in contentment with your will and purpose, and in the freedom you alone supply, to serve you with all our heart, mind, body, and soul. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray Martin Luther's morning prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have saintly brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer,
and let my cry come to you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.